Pride may be postponed this year, but rainbows? They're not going anywhere. Besides being a symbol for celebrating sexual and gender diversity, rainbows are all about hope. And right now, we sure could use it.
One of the most timeless songs about rainbows is The Rainbow Connection, originally written for the Muppet movie by Paul Williams and Kenneth Asher, which over the years became a huge cover song by people like Justin Vivian Bond, Jason Mraz, Deborah Harry, and even The Carpenters.
And now Kermit D. Frog is singing it again, socially distanced and unplugged from his home in the Okefenokee Swamp.
Today we take a look at the song The Rainbow Connection, plus all the sizzling hot news.
The Girl Scouts get some of that bailout money for their cookies.
Fox News gives Trump's favorite sister act, Diamond and Silk, the boot.
The library's open. 80s hunk Rob Lowe throws some shade towards Tom Cruise.
And Russians capture an alleged cannibal after finding a severed penis in the yard.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Visit feastoffun.com/plus and become a member today.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Hi-yo, that was Kermit D. Frog singing The Rainbow Connection from the fabulous Muppet movie. Only what you heard was Matt Vogel from the Muppets YouTube channel, Matt being the seventh person to our knowledge to play the famous green frog.
The first one was Jim Henson, right?
Yeah, he built that out of his, I think his mom or his grandma's sweater.
Oh, really?
For a TV show, Sam and Friends.
Because it was originally made out of felt, right?
Yeah, it was made out of an old sweater, an old felt sweater.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's such an important character on so many different levels. It defined the Muppets and the Jim Henson Company and changed the way we even think about puppetry.
Mm-hmm.
The song The Rainbow Connection introduces the Muppets into Hollywood. It was their first film, but also the plot of the film is them breaking into Hollywood as well.
There were, you know, it was the call of the young sailor or whatever. They're just like, oh, the yearning to go somewhere and to be something, right?
And a TV and film actor who then later became a songwriter, Paul Williams. He is best known at the time for writing the song Evergreen from the Barbara Streisand film A Star Is Born. Love, soft as an easy chair.
Well, Paul Williams looks kind of like a Muppet, right?
Yeah, I always thought that Paul Williams as a kid was Oliver from the Brady Bunch. When the Brady Bunch was like in the last season and they were like hurting for ratings, they brought in a little bratty kid.
A little cousin to...
Yeah, cousin Oliver.
Uncle, to get the youth vote.
Carol, can I say something?
Sure. Sure you can. Go ahead, what is it?
Well, I just wanted to say goodnight and thank you for letting me stay here with you guys.
Oh, Oliver, we're so thrilled to have you here with us.
We sure are.
We really need to boost our ratings.
And you know what? Tomorrow we're going to help you write a letter to your mommy and daddy. I'll bet you miss them, huh?
Yeah, but when you get to be as big as I am, you understand those kind of things.
We figured you would.
Anyway, I really like it here. It's super. Night.
Night, honey.
I'm wanting to say that as like Eva Gabor from Green Acres for some reason. Oliver, because that's her husband's name.
Right.
But he was just like a kid. And I was like, in my mind, little Oliver from the Brady Bunch, Paul Williams, the composer, and little Chrissy, that little fuzzy haired mm-hmm. Muppet that sang with Patti LaBelle, the alphabet song.
Aw.
All right, Chrissy, you better get it right now.
Thank you.
You know, that song that drag queens love to lip sync to. I always thought those are all, you know, related to each other, but they're not. So.
And so they pulled him in. They pulled Paul Williams in yeah. because it was like he was did a good job with The Star Is Born, so that we need him for this.
He was at the time considered like a big, reputable star, somebody who could write music and create hits. And they obviously, Rainbow Connection is referencing The Wizard of Oz and Over the Rainbow. So somewhere over the rainbow. But in an interview, he actually said that they were trying to sort of replicate the same feel of Jiminy Cricket and Pinocchio singing When You Wish Upon a Star.
Oh,
yeah.
That's very sweet. You know, you can kind of see there's a similarity between that Jiminy Cricket and Kermit because they both have that very hopeful kind of
kindness,
you know, the consciousness and very kind and very open and like, oh, inquisitive about things.
What exactly like is a conscience? Like when people talk about, you know, it's like, listen to your conscience.
Well, it's that inner voice, that thing that said, this is the right thing to do, you know, or don't do this. You have to follow your heart, really.
Because if you're an awful person, please don't listen to your conscience. Just defer to somebody else's wisdom and knowledge.
Mm.
You know, and these Rona times, there's a lot of misinformation out there. It's like, we'll get that back later in the second half of the show. But today, I just thought it would be really fun to sort of explore and look and play a little bit of covers of this amazing song that is spoken to so many people and has been covered time and time again. It's considered one of the greatest, 100 greatest songs that came out of Hollywood.
It was listed as number 72 for greatest songs from Hollywood. And, you know, for me, it's very sweet because I saw this movie when I was a very young kid and it's Kermit and it's him in a different, you're like, oh my God, you know, I grew up watching Sesame Street. I grew up watching The Muppets and now they've made this movie and you can go there and he's just like, it opens because it opens his sweet scene. He's there in his swamp and he's just kind of like singing, he's yearning, and then he goes off on this great adventure.
And then Dom DeLuise shows up.
And you're like, oh, him again.
And you're like, oh, that's this kind of film. And that's what I really like about The Muppets and informs our sensibilities is that there's this really sublime quality to speaks about loneliness. And then there's this wacky, slapstick, character-driven film. And one character actor and celebrity cameo after another. I mean, The Muppet film is full of them. And I consider it one of the, it is the greatest Muppet film ever
Well,
made.
It's, you know, if you want to, if you're a celebrity and the Muppets are making a movie, it's like, you want to be in this film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you know it's going to be a favorite film of people for a lifetime.
And Paul Williams had just worked with, Frank Oz and Jim Henson in The Muppet Show in England. All those were filmed in England.
They were filmed in England?
The Muppet Show.
At Pinewood Studios?
Yes.
Where they filmed Star Wars?
Oh my God, that's right. Oh my God. This is the weirdest thing. The Rocky Horror Picture Show, Star Wars, and The Muppet Show were all like almost the same cast and crew. And like, of course, Frank Oz later went on to doing Miss Piggy. And
you know, it probably was, you know, with the exchange rate back in the day, it probably was a lot cheaper to make movies in London. They probably had much different laws. They probably had a lot of tax breaks and things like that. And then, of course, you know, Jim Henson and Sesame Street was based out in New York. So it was just a quick flight over, right?
Just a hop over the pond. And that's why, like, the Muppet Show, there was all these, like, celebrities you had never heard of because they were famous in Europe. And it was easy for them to get to England, to London, to film those things. But like for Americans, they're like, who the hell is that?
Now, in your research, did you find anywhere where they said that this was going to be a song about rainbows? Was that something that came from Jim Henson? Was that something that came from
That
Paul
was initially,
Williams?
It was definitely Jim Henson loved The Wizard of Oz, you know, just like RuPaul does. And all great dreamers love The Wizard of Oz. Which, you know, like in terms of The Wizard of Oz, I think like The Wizard of Oz at its core is a technological masterpiece, which at the time wasn't seen that way, you know, and
well, it wasn't the first color film, right?
No, but it was the one of
the first one that really just showed like, oh, look, it's black and white. And then you're going into this whole new world. So it was kind of like magical in that sense.
Well, you go to YouTube and you can see the original film footage of The Wizard of Oz as it appeared in a screen, and the color version wasn't that different from the black and white one. Because the black and white one was almost sepia toned, and the color version was really washed out. Later on, what we think of The Wizard of Oz is what we saw on television when it was you know, eventually transferred
into Technicolor or something
Yeah, it was, I mean, that film has been remastered so many times, and, you know, even kind of like the Rocky Horror Picture Show too, is a film that was misunderstood and not embraced, but the Muppet movie was something that was a hit, and, you know, the Rainbow Connection was an instant hit and never stopped being a hit and continues to be a hit today. So to me, it was really interesting when I saw this week that the Muppet YouTube channel, which is kind of always like ours, is kind of like dormant.
And then it explodes with stuff.
And then we put out, you know, Cooking with Drag Queens, and everyone's like, oh my God, Feast of Fun does movies and then videos and, you know, stuff, you know, because they're working on other projects and then they put out these videos. And so right now, you know, they I guess they got Matt Vogel. He replaced Steve Whitmire. You guys recognize Steve Whitmire. He does the voice of Rizzo the Rat.
Aww.
Oh, there's no fire in the fireplace. There's no carpet on the floor.
From the very beginning, Rizzo?
Not Rizzo from the Grease, but Rizzo the Rat. Yeah. Yes, the original Rizzo Rat. He actually got involved with the Muppets. He just went up to, knocked on their door, and he's like, I want to be a Muppeteer.
And they're like, come on in. He's stick your hand in here.
Yeah.
Make it squeal like a pig.
Yes. People actually say that we have Muppet hands up our butts sometimes. That's another story.
I have never.
What?
Had a hand up there.
In your, well, I mean, metaphorically speaking.
Okay.
You know, that we're only.
Not that I'm opposed to it. It's just, it's never really.
But if you look at all our videos that we do, we're only seen from the waist up.
But we don't have pants.
Well, neither do the Muppets.
Like everybody, nobody these days, that nobody has pants in their Zoom meetings, right?
Yeah, it's like there was this one guy who got fired, I guess. He was a commissioner. And he got started drinking, getting drunk, and he picked up his cat and he's like, started cussing out the employees and stuff. And they're like, you got to resign. Like, it's getting to people, you know.
Christopher Reeves, you know, the guy who played Superman, his son is a news reporter, and they did a thing with him, and he's wearing a full suit, and then he's just like, these are shorts that I'm wearing, because he thought it would just be from, like, the waist up, but it actually caught, like, a little bit of his legs and stuff, and you could see his bare skin. He's like, I'm not in my underwear.
Does he wear Superman underoos?
I don't know.
I hope
like
so.
To find out. He's super cute.
He is?
Yeah, he's cute. Oh, absolutely. So nice. I mean, he's Christopher Reeves' kid. How could he be ugly?
So the Rainbow Connection, a lot of people done covers. I'm surprised. You started playing some for me.
I did. Because I think the first one I played for you was The Carpenters, because I was like, oh, The Carpenters covered it. And I want to hear it.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
It's interesting that they use that like a toy piano there.
Yeah, in the video you see him, he's playing it. Yeah.
But only illusions and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the Rainbow Connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that wishes?
What a sublime song.
I mean, I absolutely adore The Carpenters, and I think that she has got, Karen Carpenter's got one of the best voices out there, because it's just, like you said, very sublime. But I don't know if this is the best version of the song, because when you hear like Paul Williams talk about it, he says that when they wrote it for Kermit's voice, and the way that Kermit says things, so the phrasing is very much Kermit, and I don't think that Karen is very Kermit-like.
Karen is kind of a tortured soul. And to me, it's like the Rainbow Connection is very much, reminds me a lot of the Radiohead song Creep.
Oh, really?
Well, you were here before, couldn't look at you in the eye.
People love to cover that song, too.
You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. It's a song that appeals to people who are hurting a lot. And the Rainbow Connection, much like from The Wizard of Oz, Over the Rainbow, somewhere, the song itself, the notes, the melody kind of escalate up, But Paul Williams intentionally made it sort of bounce at the top of the stairs of the melody. So instead of going, you know, somewhere over the rainbow, da da da, it's why are there so many songs about rainbows? You know, because Kermit talks like this. Hi-oh, this is Kermit the Frog, you know. So he keeps that kind of bouncy spirit at the end of the phrase. And I think that's what makes that song kind of seem spooky and poorly playful. Matched
yeah.
when Karen Carpenter's doing it. Let's listen to another one. I'm really liking
it. I really like, I think of all, besides Kermit's rendition, I think the one that's really gotten the most airplay and people really like the most is probably Willie Nelson.
Wait and see. Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. And what's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? And what do you think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
You know, I played that song so many times as a little closeted teenager in high school when I was like being bullied and being feeling alone. It really it was a lullaby for so many people who are hurting. And definitely I felt like there was a connection to me. I didn't even have words to describe who I was or what I was feeling, but the song, The Rainbow Connection, and that just colorful, furry pantheon of characters and that diversity, then no matter how weird, in fact, the weirder the better in terms of the Muppets. You were more welcome the more of a misfit you were. And it's like, you know, you think about Sesame Street, like Snuffleupagus, which is this monstrous, hairy beast.
And everybody loved him.
And the tiniest, Smiley the Worm. And it's just like, no matter what size, what you look like, you were welcome and you were part of the tribe.
Aww.
And as you know, for me, it's like the Jim Henson's music and songs throughout, from a childhood all the way up to adulthood, even to this day, speak strongly to me. And it's something that I think is some of the best things collectively us as a society have.
Oh, that's such a sweet sentiment. There's that definitely that with this song, you have that yearning and that looking for something else beyond the horizon, that inspiration, that hope you're going to see something, life is going to change. And it's something that you know that other people have, and we're all collectively having the same kind of thing. And I think especially right now, we're having this pandemic, this coronavirus pandemic, is we're all yearning to go outside. We're all yearning to play. We're all like, somebody's like calling. We're going to make it. We're going to get through this. This is Weezer featuring Hayley Williams.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Oh, That's such a beautiful cover.
It is very lovely.
And I like all the kind of subtle psychedelic instrumentation in the background there. When I actually, the first time I ever heard Weezer's music, I was tripping on acid. And I was like, is that me or is that the song? I was just like,
maybe a little bit of both.
I was just kind of sitting there and we were, my friend Karen and I and Joseph, we were, and Antonia from Germany. It was her first, it was like her first week in America. And Joseph Raven's like, I got some acid. Do you want to drop it together? And I was like, we're like, sure. So we were, this was in college, you know, a long time ago. And Antonia pulled out this thing and says, this is Visa. This is Visa. And I was like, Visa?
Visa.
And she's like, no, Visa. Visa. And we're playing their music. And I was just like, what is going on in the background? I just thought I couldn't figure out whether the song itself was being distorted or my brain was distorting it.
I got to be honest with you. I really am not too familiar with this band at all. I mean, I like this cover, but it's just like, it's not, I probably have heard their music on the radio. I probably heard it everywhere, but I like, to be honest with you, I couldn't name one song of theirs.
They're kind of in that same genre as Fish and the Grateful Dead. If you're a fan of theirs, you know every single song. If you're not that familiar with them, you're going to be like, who? But they're huge.
Yeah, I know they're huge. I've heard their names. And it's just, it's one of those things. It's just kind of like, you know, it's there just outside of my reach.
Let's listen to the Jason Mraz.
I think Jason came out as
he's bi. Yeah, he's part of the Rainbow Connection now. Mm-hmm. And so he put out this cover to celebrate.
Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailors? The voice might be one in the same. I've heard it too many, many times to ignore it. Ooh, what did I think it could be? Well, someday we'll find it. Rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection, the lovers. The dreamers and me.
But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm bisexual. You come out of the closet, Jason.
He's got some tricks in his voice there, huh?
Oh, he's just so luscious, you know? When Jason Mraz first came out, I was just like, I was really annoyed about that hat he was wearing all his music videos.
Why was he wearing that
hat? I don't know. It was like a thing, the Jason Mraz hat back in the day. And I was just like, God, that I just wanted. And finally, like, you know, he started coming out with all this really great music. And he's now considered this amazing artist. But back in the day, he was like, you know, a teen pop idol.
For sure. What do you think of this version of the song?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to play something for me. Oh, and this one. Yeah, I really like some people complain when musicians are being doing the Whitney Houston kind of sliding around their notes. But I actually like when Whitney Houston does it. I like it when anybody does it. I think it kind of makes me think about gospel, and it has a religious feeling to it. It has a sense of awe and wonder of the universe. And to me, like, the song Rainbow Connection is really about trusting and hoping that things are going to work out, that asking the questions is just, or even more important as the answers themselves. And not letting yourself be deluded by superstition and misinformation. And instead of seeing the beauty and the awe and wonder in the world exactly as it is. The thing about rainbows is that they are this illusion that we see, but they really are there. And it's this wonderful conundrum that we get mixed into, and it becomes a philosophical question. And, you know, and when you're transgender and you're learning how to change your voice, they read you the rainbow passage.
Oh, yeah. Can you
read? I actually had to read that myself because I went to a voice doctor because I was losing my voice.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty serious thing. So I think I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast, but over the past like 5 years, it's like, because I talk for a living here and elsewhere, and I'm just like talking all day long. And as I'm getting older, like you can kind of hear it. I call it the like wrestler voice. Like it's kind of drier and lower. And so I went to a doctor's office that specializes also in, trans voices and training them. And so they had me read the Rainbow Passage, and I was like, I was kind of a little bit excited.
Can you give us a little bit of the Rainbow Passage?
Should I read it in my most masculine or most feminine voice?
Do it in the voice you want to use.
When the sunlight strikes raindrops in the air, they act like a prism and form a rainbow. The rainbow is a division of white light into many beautiful colors. These take the shape of a long round arc with its path high above and its two ends apparently beyond the horizon. There is, according to legend, a boiling pot of gold at the end.
A boiling pot?
A boiling pot of gold at one end. People look, but no one ever finds it. When man looks for something beyond his reach, his friends say he is looking for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Aww.
The treasure is in the journey, not the destination.
Well, because the destination is you never find it, right?
Well, you know, as 7 of 9 said in Star Trek Voyager, may all your dreams come true except one, so you all have something to strive for.
Paul Williams was on Voyager.
I know! That is so amazing! we just found out about this.
Yeah, so on the episode Virtuoso, the hologram doctor, he loves opera, so he sings opera, and he comes across this civilization that had never heard music before. And so they're just like, oh my God, you are amazing. And so they all just come to Voyager to like hear him sing.
That civilization was really obsessed with mathematics. Mm. And so they were like, oh, the harmonics and the Pythagorean theorem and whatever the... They were into music because they were into math.
Yes, but they also loved the sound. They loved the sound of it, and so he became a huge celebrity on that planet and had concerts. And he got this big giant ego, and all the captain and everybody's like, "Oh, brother, this guy just thinks he's something else." And then
Janeway, the captain.
Well, everybody was just like, his ego is just too much, and they were going to leave him on that planet.
Well, he quit.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor had a mobile emitter, mm-hmm. and he says, "I'm going to stay on this planet and be a celebrity, be a star." And Jane was like rolling her eyes going,
okay.
So he gets down to the planet the day before the ship takes off, the scientist that had discovered him. She's like, I wrote this computer program to make even more beautiful music without you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what?
And it was like a cacophony. Music, you don't understand what music is. He's like, I'm going back to the ship later, bitches.
It's the only Star Trek episode that I know of that deals directly with the nature and origins and ramifications of celebrity, mm-hmm. of fame. Mm-hmm. Like no one ever becomes famous. You know, in the future on Earth, there's no money, so therefore there's no, you know, ego or the desire for fame. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's interesting to see that sort of manifesting itself in a post-scarcity society. And
scarcity.
Scarcity, yeah.
Well, you know, the Rainbow Connection is usually performed solo, but on an episode of the Muppets TV show, Deborah Harry...
The Muppet Show, you mean?
The Muppet Show, yes. Deborah Harry sang it with Kermit the Frog.
Oh, Debbie!
Oh, yeah,
hey,
Kermit.
Hey, what's this I hear about you wanting to do a rainbow song?
Oh, yeah, well, I just dig songs about rainbows.
Oh, good.
I sent you a list.
I got the list, Somewhere over the rainbow, and I'm always chasing rainbows.
Well, yeah, which one should I do?
Well, you left out one rainbow song.
I did?
Yeah, my rainbow song.
Oh, that one. Well, I thought you might be tired of that.
Well, No, I'm not.
I got paid every time I performed this.
Let's do it then.
Oh, good. I thought you'd never ask. It goes like this. Remember?
Yeah.
Why are there so many songs
songs about rainbows and what's on the other side.
Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. Rainbows have nothing to hide.
So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Dreamers and me, all of us follow its spell. We know that it's probably magic. Have you been
calling me your caller, baby? Calling me your car.
Call me.
Call me. I was hoping that she would like do a medley with that one. That's the thing. Is like
that's
a lot of celebrities.
American Gigolo.
I know, it's so dirty. I was always
Richard
wanting celebrities whenever the Muppet Show to get a little bit more wild. Or I think even like Jim Henson himself was pretty freaky.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, I know so. I mean, I've heard all the stories. You know, it's like,
what kind of stories?
Well, like he left his wife to start dating Daryl Hannah. For
what
one.
Happens?
You know,
it's not freaky.
Well.
She yeah. started dating Daryl Hannah.
I don't know. I don't think Jim Henson ever did any hard drugs or anything like
no?
that.
No.
Yeah. That I am not aware
Wasn't
of.
He like a Christian scientist?
He was something? A Christian scientist and he didn't believe in.
Just like Carol Channing, right?
Carol Channing was a Christian scientist. Yeah. Only she lived a nice, healthy, long life.
She did.
I still would go to
How
the
old
doctor.
Was she when she died? 98, 102?
I was 97 years old. You thought the grave could hold me back, you'd be wrong. Dead wrong. Raspberries.
I'm also going to save for the end of the show one of my favorite versions of it, too.
Okay.
It's because over the top.
You know, right-wing conservative Christians for years have been demanding that gay people give back the rainbow.
Well, they think of it as a symbol of God because they said, you know, when God flooded the earth, at the end, he gave a rainbow to Noah as a promise. He's just like, I will never flood the earth again. Instead, I might, you know, put a plague of frogs, locusts, coronavirus, those kinds of things. But don't worry, I'm not going to flood you out again.
Remember when I said I was going to hurt you no more? I lied. Yeah, Diamond and Silk.
Now, who are Diamond and Silk for people?
Because I love, I have
kind
to say,
of the fringe people, right?
They're on the fringe.
And they became famous during the last election.
So there's
right?
the two, the their sisters, Diamond and Silk, their parents were snake oil salesmen, basically.
They were pastors at a church, but they also sold some kind of.
They had a cable access show,
and
yeah.
But they were also pastors, and they sold some kind of weird.
Herbal remedies.
Right, that they were like, which were bunk.
So Diamond and Silk, people go, which one's Diamond, which one's Silk? Diamond is the one that's tough.
And talks all the time.
And talks all the time, like me, you know, and Silk is the one who does.
Smooth and punctuates everything.
Yes.
Reinforces everything.
So she like will say all kinds of things.
And then Silk would be like, yes, that is exactly correct.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then she. Mm-hmm.
You know that's right.
That's right.
You tell them why that's so.
And so Anithia Lynette Hardaway and Henrietta Rochelle Hardaway Richardson, known as the Hardaway sisters, or better known as Diamond and Silk, were originally video bloggers who became notorious because they became supportive of President Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is like, you know, crazy people are attracted to crazy people. Mm-hmm. And they started touring with Donald Trump. They were on the public record. They were paid only like $1,274.94 for consulting with the work of Trump campaign. But a lot of Black Lives Matters and other activists criticized them, calling them basically a modern day minstrel act. And that they present this image of blackness that conservatives and racist people can accept. And the minute that Diamond Silk would ever say anything to contradict Donald Trump would be the day that their career ends.
And so they never did anything. And as a matter of fact, so they worked at Fox, so it was more on their streaming platform, right, on their website. And they were saying,
although I would watch them on Fox News. I just like how crazy they are. They would interview them on Fox News
and stuff like that. But they had a permanent residency, yeah, right? And so they, you know, they were saying a lot of stuff. So there's some people are saying that because of this quarantine, it's harming our immunity, right? Because we have to be out there in the world. We have to be touching the grass. We have to have bacteria on us. We need to live in the natural world, and so that's going to improve our immune system. And by staying inside, our immune system is being decreased. Now, there may be some amount of validity to that in some senses, is that, you know, there is good bacteria out in the earth. And they do say, like, if you walk in the forest, you know, it improves your mood. And there are some things to that. But they were making it seem as like you should just go outside. Right. And so what happened is they were promoting this kind of stuff on Twitter.
Sure.
And then Twitter was just like, yank. No more.
They shut down their account.
They shut down their account because they're spreading misinformation. And so
it's interesting that Twitter shuts down Diamond Silk but doesn't shut down Donald Trump's account.
Well, could you imagine
the outcry that would happen?
The outcry that would happen over something like that. And so I wondered, did Fox News then fire them because they can no longer promote themselves on Twitter? Or
probably.
Or did they do it because Fox News is facing lawsuits because of all sorts of misinformation about this coronavirus, and people have died. Thousands of people have died.
50,000 Americans.
54, yeah.
Up to in the first 3 months. Yeah.
And that's what's accounted for. And they're actually saying that there was a huge spike in deaths just before they started counting these coronavirus, COVID-19 deaths. So there probably are many more that are unaccounted for. And so they're facing a lot of lawsuits, so that, you know, they could be held responsible because they were trying to be like, this is a hoax. The woman who said that, you know, this is a Democratic hoax, there's nothing going on, she was let go because it's like they were trying to, like, you know, shore themselves in legally. So they'd be like, listen, you know, we did our best. Anybody who said this kind of stuff, we got rid of. That was not our policy, because they're trying to shield themselves because, you know, these lawsuits could get into them, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
Well, and I think, you know, that misinformation's out there, and mm-hmm. certainly Fox News is liable for it, and I hope that they answer for that. You know?
So what's going to happen to Diamond and Silk? Are they going to have to go and sell, like, Ermal remedies like their parents did?
Herbal.
What did I say?
Ermal. But, yeah, I don't know. I liked it when they weren't a threat. You know, when Trump was running for president, I thought it was a wonderful, the thing about, like, I,
because it was the unexpected, right? It was like, these are people that should be not, like, these are people that should not be for him, right?
In the early days of the internet, and, you know, I'm talking about, like, early days of podcasting, 2005, 2006, part of the fun thing about that was celebrities didn't know what to do with it. Corporations had lost a lot of money. I mean, think about pets.com, right? In investing in the internet, and no one really wanted to do anything on the internet except, you know, people who were on the margins of society to some degree, you know, revolutionaries, artists, weirdos. And so podcasts and YouTube channels were just filled, like, you know, you think about Chris Crocker, there were like thousands of people like him, you know, and Diamond and Silk kind of remind me of those good old days when it was really like eccentric, eclectic people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not all right in the head and a lot of misinformation, but we took it at it with a grain of salt. We treated it as it was entertainment. It's like, you know, when you pick up, what is a tabloid and you read about Bat Boy, you're not like, hey, there really is a kid that grew up that was raised by bats.
For sure.
Yeah. You're treating it as almost the what it should be, which is entertainment. And I feel like in some ways, conservatives and really nasty, you know, money oriented groups have hijacked this need for myth, for storytelling in our consciousness, and use that to spread misinformation. And what's interesting about a lot of these people is that they're always wanting scientists to approve their message, even though they're also saying, like, scientists are wrong. I need Jesus. But 10 scientists say Jesus is real, you know?
Oh, like Mike Pence going to the Mayo Clinic, and he's just like, you know, because he wants to inspect things, how things are going, do some photo ops, talk to doctors. And so the Mayo Clinic told him, is like, you're supposed to. They actually tweeted out, like, you're supposed to wear a mask if you come. And Mike Pence, of course, did not wear a mask And when he was, and everybody.
He's not mask for mask.
No, he's definitely not mask for mask. And so all, he's around all these doctors. They're all wearing masks. He's not wearing a mask.
And he's going.
Because part of, well, I think part of it too is like he's one of those people that's just like, I have to show strength. I have to downplay this. I also have to believe that God is going to save me. To appeal to the
you better hope
right?
God's going to save you, Mike Pence.
You know, and he probably would get saved because he, you know, he's the vice president. He's going to get the best medical care there is.
Well, if Mike Pence disappears for after a while, you know where he went.
Mm.
He's on a respirator somewhere.
He's sleeping with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. They said that King was the Korean North Korean dictator. He's not doing well or he's disappeared.
He's like Bok Choi now.
What?
He's a vegetable.
Oh, my God. It's kimchi, not the drag queen.
It's kimchi, but not so spicy. The you know, the thing is like they said he was like getting a heart surgery or something like that. You know, so I mean, who's to say?
What? Know? So it's interesting because there was this Onion like, news article about like feminism being advanced because a bloodthirsty dictator was a woman.
Oh, because his sister might take over,
and his sister might actually take over, and she's like a gymnast, so she's like she can work the runway, sweetie.
Mm.
She's gorgeous, you know. So you have this kind of caricature, awkward leader, you know, who obviously was a fodder for many, like that Seth Rogen film that was hugely controversial, The Interview.
Yeah,
and now he's going to be replaced by this glamorous woman who studied ballet in Switzerland. I mean, who's a gymnast. I mean, she's like, you know, probably can kill men with
her
legs.
We'll see what happens.
She's like a James Bond character.
Didn't the interview get leaked or something? Didn't North Korea hack into it or something?
Sony Pictures computers, and they leaked the film, and it caused a huge commotion.
And so it would lose a lot of money.
Yeah, right? So I think they actually couldn't release it in film theaters, so they released it on Netflix.
So wild. It was a good film. I liked it.
I liked it too. I thought it was fun. You know, I'm a big fan of Seth Rogen. So, so what happens when the dream's deferred? What happens when a dream dies? It turns to conspiracy theories. I think a lot of like celebrities right now, people who have surrounded themselves with wealth and an infrastructure to make their dreams come true, they're really hurting at home in their mansions. And some of them turn into, you know, their brains don't feed on themselves. I think anybody is hurting right now. If you are angry, if you're fighting with somebody for whatever reason, it's okay. It's okay to have these things. Just please be forgiving to each other. Ask, what is grace in the Bible, Mark?
Well, it's a condition of grace where...
Grace is when you forgive, even though they don't deserve to be forgiven, right?
A state of grace is a state of being where you're like in God's presence. You feel like the Spirit run through you.
And people say I'm always full of grace, but when I say that means I'm a chump. They're saying that I'm willing to forgive somebody even when somebody's not willing to be forgiven.
Are you talking about Rob Lowe and Tom Cruise?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I'm talking about Blink-182 lead singer Tom DeLonge, who's become a UFO conspiracy wingnut.
Oh, really?
So I don't know how he got these videos, but they're like videos of like pilots like seeing a UFO in their... You know, and they're like, oh my God, what is this? This is crazy, you know.
Is there audio?
There's audio, yeah. And he played him on his Twitter and stuff. And I guess the U.S. Pentagon, for whatever reason, confirmed that there actually are real videos.
Well, and they released them. They're like, listen, these are unidentified flying objects. Like, we don't know what they are. It's not saying that they're aliens. It could be, what could they be?
But I think at this time, because everybody's at home on their computers or, you know, isolated from each other, now there's a lot of blogs going around like the U.S. government just confirmed that UFOs are real.
Well, under any other presidency, you know, this is the presidency that you would expect something like this to be revealed at. Because with, you know, Trump, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's like, look at that person. I'm going to make fun of this person. Look, there's UFOs now. So it's just like
literally he's saying, look, there's a UFO.
Yeah.
No, don't pay attention to my corruption. Don't pay attention to the fact that you have no money in the bank. That you're being ripped off, trillions of dollars are being stolen from you. Don't pay attention. Pay attention to the UFO. And what is a UFO? Yes, UFOs are real. They're unidentifiable objects that fly. We don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, like,
it could be ice.
I could be at a nightclub and I see somebody who looks like an alien. I've been in nightclubs when I see people who look like aliens. Are they aliens? No, they're unidentified, freaky looking people. We don't know what it is.
Right.
And so that's all it is. You know, once we know, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And right now, unfortunately, Tom DeLonge should be making music and not becoming, you know, my father for a while was a UFOologist.
How would he study them?
He would invite people to speak and he would like organize house parties with slideshows.
And of UFOs.
Of UFOs. And he deeply believed that that there were other cultures, very advanced cultures on nearby planets. And one day after school, he took us to McDonald's, me and my sister, and we're sitting there. And he says, my children, one day I'm going to die. And I'm going to be going to the great universities of Mars. And I'm going to be studying there. And I said, what do Martians look like? He said, they're bright pink with white hair and bright turquoise eyes.
Do you think he believed it or was he was pulling your leg?
He was dead serious. And me and my sister were like,
you're pretty easy to fool, though. No. I would imagine he was like.
My sister and I were looking at each other. We're like, what? Well, at least he's buying us lunch. Meanwhile, Rob Lowe, he's reaching back to, God, when was The Outsiders
out? The Outsiders came out in like 1983. I remember my sister Margot took me to see the movie. And I have no idea. I always forget like how many of the stars that we have today were in that movie.
But
the only line that I remember from the movie is like he tells Ralph Macchio, stay golden, pony boy.
So Rob Lowe and Tom Cruise were auditioning for the film. It was C. Thomas Howell, Tom Cruise, Emilio Estevez, and him were going to an audition in New York. They flew them there, and they were keeping them in the Plaza Hotel. And Tom Cruise and Rob Lowe were sharing a room together.
We're supposed to share a room, and he flipped out.
Yeah, he was just like, and he's like telling the story, and he's going like, to me, what's so great is that there's certain people who always been, who think they're just great, that this element of them has powered them to be where they are today, and the rest is history. And that notion that an 18-year-old actor with a walk-on part and endless love could have that kind of wherewithal is amazing. I remember going, wow, is this guy the real deal? I mean, it made me laugh. It was gnarly, but at the end of it, you can't argue with the results. Tom Cruise had his eye on the ball since day one.
Mm-hmm.
Okurr! That sounds like a scene from RuPaul's Drag Race. So they're talking about each other, mm-hmm.
He was in that movie, but it, like, I don't think it was a really big part either, but it was, you know, when Risky Business came out, that's really when he just blew up.
Tom Cruise in underwear, lip syncing to, what is that song?
Old Time Rock and Roll.
Old Time Rock and Roll and sunglasses. I went and got myself a pair of those sunglasses. I was like, I'm just like Tom Cruise.
Sure you are.
Actually, one of my cousins saw me sitting in a car with those sunglasses, and she rolls down the window, and she's like, oye, parece un Tom Cruise. And I was like, I threw the glasses away.
No, you didn't.
I was so embarrassed. I was like, because I secretly wanted to date Tom Cruise when I was a little kid.
He's super sexy, right?
And well, he, you know, in that movie, Risky Business, he has sex with that prostitute.
Yes, he does. Rebecca in a rocking
chair. In a rocking chair.
Mm-hmm.
And they show it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that got me so horny.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Rebecca De Mornay was married to, I think it was Leonard Cohen. I'm sorry, she was engaged to Leonard Cohen. Briefly engaged.
And they never got married?
No, they dated.
Oh, that's too bad. She was like, after tasting Tom Cruise's dick. I always imagine that in those movies there actually are fucking, you know, but they never are. They're just wearing underwear and they're just pretending like they're humping.
There must be some movie out there with some.
I think Chloe Savini in The Brown Bunny was famously.
She really blew the guy, right? Yes, she did.
Okay, so Drag Race is almost like halfway there. We talked about RuPaul's secret celebrity drag race.
Mm-hmm.
The secret is there's no celebrities.
There's celebrities. They're just a secret celebrity to you because like they're famous to some people.
And like, and let's that, put it this that, way.
Nico Tortorelli, like he's
I like him. People.
He's very sexy. The
I
other
think
guy,
he's hot. Yeah.
Jermaine Fowler, he's been a working comedian for 10 years. He's had a TV show. And then the other guy, he's on, you know, the CW, and people know him from that.
But I went on these forums and these websites and read all the comments, and every single person is like, who the hell are these people? Like, no, they know more who we are. The audience of that show mm-hmm. knows who we are more than, and we're nobody. We are absolutely nobody. I'm not saying I'm a celebrity, but
we're a celebrity to someone.
Somebody thinks you, somebody likes you, whatever, but them to say that those people are celebrities to that audience, and the audience is left going, huh? So there's that one. Then Jeff Goldblum pulled up. So it was the challenge was, I guess, to make
red, white, and blue American.
Red, white, and blue, and to make a political speech. And Jackie Cox, who is Persian American,
Canadian,
and she kept like hammering about her Canadian side
because she thought it was funny,
And over again, you know. And you know, part of it is like it's hard to be funny when you're isolated like that. But
hard to be funny when you're Persian.
Why?
I don't know.
So anyways, Jeff Goldblum has getting heat online for making pointed comments about Islam. And he, during his critique or feedback to Jackie Cox, Jeff Goldblum said, isn't this an interesting wrinkle? Is there something in your religion that is anti-homosexuality and anti-woman? Does this complicate the issue? I'm just raising it and thinking out loud and maybe being stupid. And I say, you know, if we're going to measure, this is the answer I would have liked Jackie Cox to say. I think she handled it fine, but this is a point. This is the quick answer to anybody who says like Muslims hate gays or women mm-hmm. or whatever. If we're going to measure religion or culture by the worst people in it, by their crimes against humanity, then America and Christianity always ranks on top.
Mm.
If you think about the murder of colonialism, where I think I calculated one time was like 20% of the world's population was murdered at the hands of colonialists.
Well, and lots of disease, right?
And disease.
But,
as a consequence of colonialism.
Modern, we're talking about modern times here, though. So, you
sure.
know, and to keep it, you know, in this kind of framework is like, yes, we've seen pictures of like, you know, gay men being hanged in Iran, and in the Middle East and stuff, and people thrown off buildings and stuff. But we, you know, we have that same stuff here. I mean, when you look at how many trans women are murdered every year in the United States, how many of those murderers are Muslim? I doubt very few, if any. You know, they're probably raised Christian. We just had in Puerto Rico, two women were burned out in their car.
Yeah. Usually when trans people get murdered in Puerto Rico, it's usually their bodies wind up being burned. And if you think about like how much hate it takes to burn somebody alive or mm-hmm. after you've murdered them, that speaks to your anger and your hate of that person.
Mm-hmm. And how much of that is brought on by, you know, society norms, which, you know, are often dictated by Christian churches.
But again, if you want to summarize and judge a culture or religion by the totality of their history, mm-hmm. Christianity wins that contest.
And then also, too, but you know,
and we're not going around saying mm-hmm. Christianity is hard. Well, mm-hmm. I sometimes do say that, you know, Christianity in the Bible is, you know, sexist,
it's
brutal and stuff. But, you know, so Islam and Judaism and all those faiths all share a lot in common. And if you go to the Middle East, if you go to Israel or Palestine, those faiths unite under one thing. They hate gays. They disagree on just about mm-hmm. anything, but they come together mm-hmm. to hate on the gays.
Right. You know, and it's, you know, I guess in some ways it's a fair question to ask, and maybe it would be better if it was asked more eloquently or if there was some kind of discussion. But, you know, you also have to look at, you know, the United States' media and the agenda that they try and push. And so, yeah, the United States, the media, they often push an anti-Middle East agenda. I mean, look, we're always at war with them.
And in a lot of ways, actually, I admire that RuPaul's Drag Race had a very pro-Islamic mm-hmm. stance this season, and also encouraging their viewers to register to vote. You know, the vote.org website that they put on the show.
I'm sure they put some money into that. I'm sure they paid for that.
You think they paid for that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that they paid for that, for sure.
Well, I'm glad they're getting paid, but at the same time, it's like, you know, other reality TV. You don't see American Idol asking people to register to vote. You don't see other reality TV show contests doing that. And so, you know, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
It's a criticism that we ourselves have thrown at RuPaul's Drag Race and drag queens and contestants. And now this year, maybe they see what we don't see or whatever, but they, you know, they're getting political. They're asking their audience to get out there and vote. And I think that's great.
Yeah, we need people to vote. Definitely register to vote if you can, unless you're in New York State, and then, you know, you're not going to get to vote in the primary, I guess.
They canceled the New York primaries.
Something like that, yes. Because, you know, right now Biden is the presumptive candidate, right? So they're like, why do we even need to have the primaries? But aren't they having any other kind of elections in New York for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's the thing I don't understand. It's like, it's not just the presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. It's not just the platform at the Democratic convention that's at stake. It's all kinds of offices and policies that get voted on in primaries.
Mm.
So I don't understand why they're just deciding voting doesn't matter.
I think that they're afraid because of these allegations against Joe Biden of this sexual assault, and also, too, because of what a nightmare our healthcare system is dealing with this pandemic, that the people are like, hey, maybe we should go for Bernie. And so maybe, you know, Bernie's still, like, people are like, Bernie's out, but, like, he still could have gotten those 1,900 votes. He would have had to done amazingly well, but it would have been possible.
And certainly we're in extraordinary times.
Yes.
And I know that a lot of our listeners feel very threatened by the thought of Joe Biden having not be the nominee.
Mm-hmm.
They're very enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very eager to, like you guys, to get rid of Trump, you know, please, let's get rid of Trump. And if you think, you know, Joe Biden and what is it, and Trump are the same candidate, that's not a accurate assessment.
Mm.
The oligarchs, Russian mobsters, they see a difference. Mm-hmm. Some of the worst people in the world who are fighting against LGBTQ equality, they see a huge difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So don't even think for a minute that that's the same thing, because it's not.
Mm.
Now, is Biden, is the Democratic Party guilty of the same kind of dishonesty or problematic behavior that Republicans have? Absolutely. But there is an ocean of a difference between those two parties and those two candidates.
Without a doubt. I don't think we'd be in this nightmare that we're in right now with this coronavirus. I mean, when you look at places like Korea, how well they've handled this, in New Zealand, it's like, if we just had something like that here, we'd do much better.
What's going on about the Girl Scouts in Alaska?
So the Girl Scouts in Alaska got some of that bailout money.
Good for them, because I haven't gotten a penny, just saying.
They worked with some of the banks there because they had to cut their cookie selling season 6 weeks short because of the coronavirus. And so, you know, people are sitting on packs of cookies, but they're just like, what can I do with them? And then, of course, they're like trying to figure out, like, the Girl Scouts still need to be funded. There still needs to do some kind of activities, like whether it's online or something like that. So they were able to get some money to kind of like tide them through. So,
honey, just send me a box of Samoas.
That's right. And then send me Samoa and Samoa and Samoa.
There's been a push to change the Samoa. That it was a caramel coconut chocolate shortbread cookie, because they're like, this has nothing to do with Samoan culture.
With the island of Samoa.
Yeah. They just like it because it's like Samoa. And I guess because the coconut is
Polynesian.
So they're like, yeah, why not? You know,
they are so good. I mean, I struggle between those, and I really do like the mint ones too.
Really? You like the thin chocolate mints?
Yeah, I do. Oh, those used to be my favorite. Then I had Samoas.
They're disgusting.
Mm.
Although the funny thing about it is like, when I used to have a job, I would buy a box of those Samoa cookies from the Girl Scouts, and I would go up to all my coworkers and be like, you've been really good. Have Samoa.
Aww.
And they're like, thank you so much. It's so sweet.
Mm. There's another queer cannibal out there in Russia. They found some guy. He had
she's hungry. She's hungry.
She's needy. She's greedy. She's got to eat. And so they went up to this guy. Zakharov is his name. And they went up to his house because they found this dude's bike nearby. And then they were talking to him. They're like, you know, do you know this person? They're like, oh yeah, I was drinking with him a few days earlier, but no, I haven't really seen him since. And then they look down on the ground and then they see a severed penis in the yard. They're just like, suspicious.
And it's not your front yard.
No.
That was a dildo.
And so they went around and they looked on the grounds and stuff. And then they saw the missing man's body was like in an outside toilet in the garden. And then they went into the basement to the guy's place. And then they removed the plank floors and they found two skeletons down there. Now, I'm not sure if he ate those or not.
Damn. And what did Jodie Foster say afterwards? That sounds like a real life scene from Silence of the Lambs, like the sequel or something.
Well, he was eating them, not wearing them.
Yeah.
So it's food, not fashion.
Which is the bigger crime? Fashion or haute cuisine? Haute couture or haute cuisine?
The desire to eat a human being is just, it's very unappetizing to me. Because I feel like I don't think it would taste very good.
But wearing like a dress made out of a woman's skin would be better?
No, that wouldn't be better either.
I thought it was interesting, the original film, Silence of the Lambs, the way it kind of played on transphobia by having Buffalo Bill in that notorious scene standing there, tucking his dick between his legs and putting on a little makeup and then saying, "I'd fuck me."
I know you would, but nobody else would.
Well, that's the thing about it is, it's like there's that film when it first came out was protested and hated upon and people, you know, obviously for good reasons, because it was so harmful or problematic towards trans people and queer people. And now we look at that film and it's a camp classic.
I know. And there's a lot of trans people that like would have like hated it back then, but they're like, now they've kind of grown to like it. I mean, I'm sure there's still some people that are like, no, it's disgusting. But if you notice, Buffalo Bill is not really trans. The person is just like, that's why they were denied service at the clinic, because they were just like, you're just crazy. You're not trans.
They were trying to do that, make that distinction. But I think a lot of activists at the time were saying that distinction wasn't
clear enough
in the film. And certainly the film does, you know, capitalize on people's transphobia. And so that's why I think we're in a better place today as a society, because we look at that film and we kind of think of it as a comedy, as a camp class. There's humorous aspects to the over the top horror that we see,
and it is legit scary.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when the woman gets kidnapped and stuff, I mean, it's still scary. When she's down in the well, it's still scary.
Frederica, what was her name?
Frederica Bimmel.
Frederica Bimmel, I'm here to help you. It's like, get that fucking bitch. Get
her. Oh no, that's Catherine.
Catherine, yeah. Yeah. Well, she's in the
Frederica was the one who he was the first victim. She was the first victim.
And Jodie Foster's like peeks down in the well and sees the girl with the dog. And she's like, I'll be right back. And she's like, starts
don't
cussing
go anywhere,
her out.
You bitch. Don't leave me alone. It is wonderful. I want to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. We couldn't explore these topics in depth of the Rainbow Connection if it weren't for you and your support over the years. We will be here. We will be your rainbow bridge to the future if you will be ours.
Oh, that's such a lovely way. Take us to Valhalla, honey. The great rainbow bridge.
Aww.
You know, one of my favorite all-time covers of the Rainbow Connection is by Kiki and Herb, the great duo of Justin Vivian Bond and
Herb.
Kenny Melman, the iconic 90s pop drag cabaret duo. Justin Bond portrays Kiki Durain, an aging alcoholic female lounge singer. And Kenny Melman portrayed her gay male piano accompanist, only known as Herb.
Mm. Now, Kiki said her origin story was that she was an alien, right?
Something like that.
Discovered in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Interesting.
Huh.
Erie is where I'm from.
And that's also a connection to Alaska as
Alaska
well.
Thunderfuck. Yeah, and if you listen to her voice, it's very Alaska-like.
Oh, but no, but Kiki predates Alaska
by a
long time. So you're saying that Alaska certainly... I was certainly inspired by Kiki and Herb back in the day, and I saw them performing in New York City, and I was like, this is absolutely wonderful.
And well, wonderful.
I actually got to see both Justin Bond in drag and as their gender neutral selves, performing music in a different cabaret settings. And I just think, you know, Justin Vivian Bond is one of the most transcendent transgender singers, musicians that we have. And, you know, it's been really great with the coronavirus pandemic, just seeing them singing and performing on their webpage.
I'll have to check that out. But until then, you can enjoy the Rainbow Connection by Kiki and Urban. It goes into a nice little medley there, too.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, happy song for the people. Yeah, that's more like it. Here we go. Hey! Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? And what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell. I think that it's probably magic. Have you been half asleep? And have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name. Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailors? The voice might be one and the same. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. La da da dee da da da, la da 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 da.
Tomorrow below,
happy to meet me tomorrow belongs to me.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a little break and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Back.